Hello and welcome to Stardrop Tea,
a Stardew Valley gossip podcast.
I'm Shirley.
And I'm Hillary.
And I'm so excited to be here with all of you.
We're going to be brewing up some stories, secrets, and a whole lot of speculation from Stardew Valley. First of all, what is new with you? What's going on in your game?
I went to the Walnut Room. I hadn't seen my guy, Walnut Mr. Room, Q. Baby. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, what's
sorry,
up?
Sorry.
Mr. Q, I'm going to stick with it.
All right, fine.
It's too controversial.
Finally, someone said it. Anyway, Walnut Room.
I went into Walnut Room and he immediately greets me with, hey, kid, you got to like keep striving for perfection. And I looked at him like, the fuck?
Yeah? Okay. Wait, why?
Because I've had a perfect farm for almost a year now. So I thought that was really rude. Like, why am I going to keep striving?
Okay.
Can't I rest?
So this is in not your new one.
No, this is my perfect farm.
Yeah.
And so he told me that and I walked in. So I was like,
keep
okay,
striving?
I've striven.
You strove.
I've strove and I don't want to keep striving. Like, what is this capitalism hustle mindset kind of thing?
Let me lie down.
I'm tired as grandpa. And when I went to the perfection tracker, surprise, surprise, I'm at 98%.
Gasp.
So I guess I'm not perfect.
No one is, Shirley. Yeah. And I want to
talk
about
that. So
what's
new with you? I just learned that I'm not perfect.
Yeah. Wow. Really, folks, we're bearing our hearts here.
Yeah.
So many things. Okay, so I've actually been farming, for real. Actually farming in this game, believe it or not. Normally, yeah. Slaying monsters, of course.
Talking to people.
Talking to people. Love it. Getting the lore. Blowing up rocks. I love that. As soon as every day that I wake up and I get the blessing of the Dwarf King, I'm like, let's fucking go!
And absolute you're menace. Gone.
Yeah, decimating. Just decimating shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so folks, if you don't know what the blessing of the Dwarf King is, it is a buff that protects you from bomb damage.
Oh my god. My health has completely been shot.
You knocked yourself out.
I've knocked myself out.
You ended up in the clinic.
And I've had to pay Harvey a lot of money.
Cringe.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Blessing of the Dwarf King. Love it. Big chaos immediately. But I have also been actually tending to my farm, trying to be serious about it. Because this is Walnut Room related. I did have to... Okay, spoiler. Just spoilers, folks. Spoilers ahoy.
Yes, Captain.
The whole thing. Yeah, aye. So in the Walnut Room, there are more tasks. So I've started doing some of those tasks because the rewards.
The rewards are really good.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
They're really good. And like the asks are big. Like, so for example, I did the like prismatic grange challenge.
Ooh.
Where you have to bring like 100 of each item in each rainbow color.
Yeah, I read the wiki for that. I was like, I'm not gonna figure this out.
I absolutely did that.
Yeah.
I just like emptied out my fridges because anything that's silver or gold star, I sell. And then everything else that is no star, I keep. Or iridium star, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't take farming seriously enough for that to happen very often. I'm doing tasks, earning some sick prizes. That's what I've been up to.
Did you... We've confirmed you have the horse whistle.
So I wish I did. I sure wish I did, Shirley.
Well, it is something that you can achieve now. You have access to it.
That's what I'm working towards. And there's so many other things in there. Ugh. Like, I remember when you showed me your perfection farm and I was like, wait, what's that? Wait, what's that? Wait, what's that? And you were like, nope.
Just play the game.
Yeah. So I am understanding some more things, but yeah, really excited about the horse whistle. Saving up for that. Saving up for a few other things. So that's new with me.
I love that. That's really exciting. Mm-hmm. Something that's new for the podcast is we recently started a TikTok, I think like 2 weeks ago. And I think that some of the jokes are funny.
Okay. No. No. Shirley is way underselling it. I was checking who made the TikTok. There was a TikTok that was on our TikTok. And I'm like, did we repost from somewhere else?
Oh, yeah, something to take the edge off.
So good. Mm-hmm. Folks, what? Okay, say, Shirley, come on, hype it up.
Okay, it's pretty funny. We have a lot of little quirky things that I have found in my game, that you have found in the game. It's just so cool to share them. And some moments are ridiculous. And my favorite one is definitely just the audio of, I can't get out of my head right now. Just, darling, hold my hand. Nothing beats a JetBlue holiday. And I'm just like, ugh, it's stuck in my head. And it's a video of We just completed the community center. Joyous occasion. Wow, I have worked so hard for this. I brought the community together. Everyone's there, like, so pretty.
Yeah.
And then Morris shows up. Boo. And is like, what's everyone doing here? Like, where are my customers going? Pierre says, let's fight.
That rules.
And then they asked me, should I keep it decorum or should I take it the old-fashioned way? And I was Whoa. Like, normally I'm like, Pierre, don't do it. Like, you're in front of your kids, the family. What about your reputation?
Sure. Like, that he barely his reputation, had. Surely. I was like, why are you trying to defend this man?
Well, I just was like, I'm like, oh, no violence in the community center. I just did
no
this.
Violence in the community center, folks. We have rules.
Yeah, we have rules. I just completed this. Like, why would you destroy the vibes? Yeah. You know?
No violence in the community center is actually, that actually is a good
see,
rule.
See, you get it. You
yeah,
see it.
Yeah.
You see
All right, I'm back.
But normally when I play the game, I try to, like, never choose anything that will diminish friendship points that will, like, just be good. Mm. And this time, I'm selecting everything that pisses him off.
Yes.
Like, I don't even care. I don't need to be your friend. So I told him, I was like, no, old-fashioned way. Like, beat that man.
We're punching Cal. We're beating up Morris.
Yeah, exactly. I told him to do that. And then, yeah, he fights with Morris, punches him. And then I put the audio of, like,
it's so
nothing
great.
Nothing beats oh. Jeff with holiday. Yeah.
And so, as Morris is blasting off again.
Yeah. It's been really fun. But what that has done is, like, it has expanded the podcast. Because honestly, this is our episode number 9. And by the time that new people are hearing this, we've evolved how we think about it and how we're sharing it too. But in the beginning, we were really only sharing this with our friends.
Yeah.
So now there's brand new people that we've never met.
Hi, everybody.
Interacting with the podcast. And I think that's
it's
awesome.
It's so fun. It's so fun. I love hearing all the different ways that people are playing the game, how it's impacted their lives. Yeah. And again, like, Shirley, you have such a good cultural awareness.
I'm
like,
online all the time.
I know, but and I'm online as little as possible.
Yeah.
So, like, the soundbite choices couldn't be better. Folks, go check out the TikTok. What is the TikTok handle?
Stardrop Tea.
Stardrop Tea, that's it.
Yeah.
Stardrop Tea.
Yeah, and one thing I want to just be really explicit about, just because I know we're in a day and age where people don't credit other people. For us, it's really important. It's, like, part of our guidelines.
Absolutely.
If someone shares something with us, or, like, they see a really cool thing, like, we'll credit whoever we saw do it. There are some things that, like, that's just a screen grab. Mm-hmm. I'm not copying anything. But I just want to point it out, because I know sometimes you don't want to share something. You're like, how is it going to be used? I'm like, if that was your idea, that your idea will be credited.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Just like our incredible art and music.
Yeah.
Art by Brianne Burnell. And and our wonderful, magical music by Eggward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really awesome.
Credit early and often.
Early and often.
Okay, wait. Oh my gosh. Breaking news. Sorry, there's a breaking news alert, Shirley.
Breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news. So there's been a lot of Stardew Valley and Stardew Valley adjacent news in the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Things have been popping off. So let's get into it. We're going to just hit these really quickly. According to data compiled by Steam, Stardew Valley hit its highest PC player count of 2025, so of this year, on July 6th. That's just the beginning of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about all the folks who are, like, off school right now. Wow. This is about to be so huge. There was an impressive 24-hour peak of 157,851 players on Steam. That's so many people.
Yeah.
That's so many people. And less than a week prior to that, Stardew Valley became officially the highest rated indie game on Steam with an overall rating of 97.66% across almost 900,000 total reviews.
That's so incredible. One thing that I truly love about that, and they even talk about it, like, the success of that is just demonstrating that indie games are where it's at.
Yes, people
want to have really cool storyline. They want to understand what's happening behind the scenes, how the creation of it too. I love this game. I also it's been around for a while, and every year it gets more and more popular.
Yes.
And that's incredible.
It's truly wild. Like, it defies convention in so many ways. Ugh.
To not charge someone for all of these updates that are massive
updates.
Massive updates is something I do not take for granted. And I hope more more indie games because the, I don't know if the other ones will do it, but hopefully they do. You have a lot of money to make if that is your end goal, mm-hmm. by just taking care of your community and creating a good game.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And also, I think, once again, I think we're going to see this momentum continue because with the Steam Summer Sale, hashtag unfortunately not sponsored. Not yet. In the Steam Summer Sale, the game is marked at 50% off. So this is only going to be more accessible to more people in the time of year where more people have free time.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
I'm so happy. I'm just so happy for this community. It's so funny because I had no idea about it. And then you, you got me into it.
Me.
And it's so fun. Like, the Reddit community is fun. TikTok, obviously, having a great time out there. But yeah, just so fun to talk about this game and talk about all the different ways that people approach it and how they, like, use this other reality to help deal with some of, you know, our own.
Yeah. And the other one is Haunted Chocolatier. I believe that it's kind of in, like, in the same universe, which I think is really awesome. And one thing that I was reading was a note from Concerned Ape. Just talking about his design philosophy for this game and what he does is really leaning into his intuition. And I think that's so incredible.
So important.
And using an intuitive process to, like, make chocolates is also part of the game.
What? How?
We'll find out.
Oh my God. Like, give me this game right now. Using an intuitive... And listen, I don't know, because I think you have to temper chocolate, and I think that's hard from what I've seen on the Food Network.
As someone who has watched many seasons of British Bake Off, mm-hmm. it definitely looks really tough.
It doesn't look intuitive.
No. Well, no, the people who do it, I feel like, actually have really good intuition with it, because you have to know, I have worked the chocolate enough kind of thing. It's like the right time to set it, and the shine will come out different. So there is an aspect. You can absolutely learn it.
No, you're so right. You're sure. So right. Okay. Well, no, yeah, you can learn something and it can become intuition. Boom.
Yeah, so I can't wait because I'm obsessed with, obviously, Stardew Valley, and I just think it would be really cool to have something else that I just know that was made with a lot of care. It's going to be really cool.
I remember you mentioning that there was maybe a rumor that it was in Zuzu City.
Rumor, yeah.
Okay,
nothing's
well.
Nothing's confirmed.
That's so. Fine. This is a Stardew Valley gossip podcast.
where we have explicitly said that sometimes we make stuff up.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think that would be so cool because I am so curious about the larger world that we are in. Like, we've talked about this before, but like, the geopolitical aspects of it.
There's so much.
And the fact that the Haunted Chocolatier is supposed to be bigger. Yeah. I remember you were mentioning it's supposed to be, like, exponentially larger.
Yeah. When we play Stardew Valley, we are in Pelican Town pretty much the majority of the time, unless we take the bus to the desert, mm-hmm. or obviously we go to Ginger Island. But then there's those cutscenes where we're at a concert or something, and that's in Zuzu City, or, like, I think somewhere in between. But we never really get to explore there. We're limited to three places. Mm-hmm. And this is supposed to be, I think, like, twice as large, potentially.
Today we have a brand new segment on the podcast, and that is we are opening up the mailbag. We have been fortunate enough that folks have heard my plea to email in at startuptpodcast@gmail.com. And
that's so funny. We should count how many times we say it.
I don't want to. So we have a few different emails that we're gonna read today from folks. Okay. Let's crinkle, digging around in the mailbag.
What kind of mailbag?
I don't know, actually. No, that's like paper.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. Okay, I guess paper does make that sound.
I'm opening up the mailbox. Okay, so I'm going to read the first email. Yeah. And this one is from a devoted listener and returning writer. Dear Star Drop Tea, that's us. It is I, Bogdan of Swamp Song Farm. I write in once more as a longtime listener. To begin, I just want to say that I really appreciate this podcast for opening my eyes to the conversations I could be having with the townsfolk.
Ooh.
As you mentioned, I had solely focused my social efforts on the wizard, but because of Star Drop Tea, I have been inspired to talk to other Pelican Town residents.
So social.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's so, okay. Wow.
That's huge.
Impact. I still can't find those purple shorts though. Oh no. Because, because as you fine folks taught me, You have to be friends with people to go in their rooms. Yep, I hadn't even considered going into someone else's room. Where would I be without Stardrop Tea? Oh, Bogdan. Now, I was mostly emailing in to ask about the potential for a Stardrop movie, the film, with a puppet cast. Oh boy.
That would be incredible.
That would be gorgeous. Obviously, it could be a standalone universe because of all the puppet creatures. That makes total sense because of the 16-bit graphics.
Yeah, I think that would be so good.
Yeah, but it could be also played where the farmer is the only human in Pelican Town and the rest of the cast are puppets, or vice versa. I feel like the puppet potential is strong here. Think of it. The opening sequence with Grandpa played out with a marionette, perhaps? You're the experts. Please tell me your thoughts. Your friend, Bogdan.
All right, well, we've got to discuss.
Absolutely.
First of all, Bogdan, thank you so much for writing in again.
Thank you.
I appreciate all of the conversations we've been having. So I am so grateful for this.
Oh, yeah. Because one thing about you, Shirley, is...
I'm going to respond.
You're going to respond to all those emails. And Shirley has been responding to all the emails.
Yeah, I did wait to respond to some of these because I wanted to also hear your thoughts. And I'm super excited about this.
Cool.
But I have a couple of things I'd love to chat about with you. So
absolutely.
There's obviously the aspect of... they're finally talking to other people.
Huge.
Huge.
And they're finally talking to other people because of this podcast.
Congrats.
Wow. We're really changing lives out here.
Let me call my mom real quick.
Don't actually.
Hola, mami. Estoy cambiando las vidas de la gente. Yeah, but I think I'm super excited about that. And what is really cool about doing this podcast is that I've also been learning through you playing in a really different way that I play. So I love that perspective. But I want to talk about Puppet Stardew Valley, the movie.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of puppet situation? Because we can go, obviously, the Muppets. And then there's all other kinds, like Dark Crystal.
So, that's exactly what I was going to... That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. That's right there.
We did not prep for this.
No, we actually didn't. But yeah, Dark Crystal, like that kind of vibe makes so much sense for this. Yeah. Like there's really cozy elements of Dark Crystal and also less cozy elements of Dark Crystal.
And there's so many different things that happen in the game that while sure it could be cool to do with a human, there's something fantastical about it not actually being people or CGI. And just like seeing how the Muppet, I keep saying the Muppet, but the puppet interacts with that world, I think could be amazing.
Well, I mean, listen, little Freudian slip there, but now, and we don't have time for this, but now I'm thinking, hey, what about Stardew Valley, the movie, Muppets? Like,
would they be the Muppets we know today pretending to be the characters of Stardew Valley?
Yes, it would be just like any, it would be like Muppet Treasure Island or like it's them playing the characters.
Who would Gonzo
be? Oh, we don't have time for this.
We have all the time in the world, so we can cut anything we want.
No, it's true. So Gonzo normally it's like a pretty central role. Like, is Gonzo the farmer or is the like one human in the whole thing the farmer? I don't know. Or maybe I don't know. What do you think?
I think Gonzo could be great at pretending to be Mr. Q, Mr. Chi. But I also, my immediate thought was Gonzo as Willy.
Gonzo as Willy. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Swedish Chef as Gus. Okay. We don't have time for this.
Okay, fine. We officially don't have time for
this. Oh, Miss Piggy as Haley. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I can't stop.
No, I know. Now I'm like, I've got a disease and I have to cast the Stardew movie.
No, you specifically said we would take a break from that. We'll come back to it, by the way. So I'm going to read the second email. This is from a brand new, complete new to us listener, which I'm really excited about. And this person, their name is Mandy in game, and their farm name is called Ginger Farm. They did not know about Ginger Island when they named it, and their boyfriend is a redhead, so they always name things Ginger after him, which is super cute.
Yeah.
Shout out to love.
Shout out to love.
I'm writing to you with the most excitement because 2 days ago, I recently found your podcast and I absolutely love it.
Yay, welcome.
I binged it and just finished the Tinfoil Hat episode, which was a fantastic one.
That was wild.
Straight to the heart.
So much fun.
It was so much fun. They've been playing Stardew Valley for years, and they have a lot of saves because they love the lore of the game, mm-hmm. and they also just like to start different things. It's so fun and interesting hearing people talk about it. I don't have any friends who play, so I am just in this big, crazy, pixelated universe by myself.
Aww.
I wanted to ask about some specific things in the game and get your thoughts. I apologize if it's already been discussed in recent episodes. I'm not fully caught up. No apology needed.
Doesn't matter.
There's no actual...
Doesn't matter.
Rhythm to how we pick some episodes. So you're good. You can write it at any point.
We're making
it up. Mm-hmm. We're making it up. What do we think about the mermaids? Like, are they really just mermaids? Uh-huh. Or is there more to it? The show at the night market has always felt very siren-y to me. Like, is it more sinister? What is that one doing on Ginger Island hanging out by the rock? The one that's kind of like Ariel situation.
Yeah.
And another question I have is, do we think Mr. Q is a bad guy? I know it was mentioned by Hillary that he's an alien. I kind of think he might be the head of the cult that I keep mentioning. And potentially another position of power. So finally, did you ever notice that one of the rare crows is Turnip Head from Howl's Moving Castle? We love Studio Ghibli.
Love. Obsessed. Obsessed.
Actually, recently had a Studio Ghibli fest. Yes. And by fest, I mean we watched one movie and now we need to schedule everything else.
Well, we had snacks. We had themed food and drinks as well.
For sure.
It was cute. It was cute.
And we saw Howl's Moving Castle. And I love that movie so much.
So emotional. And like the settings, it's in the like French Alps, I think,
yeah,
right?
It is.
Beautiful.
I would love to go visit where it's kind of based out of. Dream vacation is I just go to the different places of Studio Ghibli films.
Yes, please.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, right now. Well, let's finish recording first.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. We'll figure that out. Mandy was saying that they love the film, and it's amazing. Also, that Mario and Luigi pirates exist in the little pirate cove on Ginger Island. There's so many Easter eggs in the mm-hmm. game, which is really cool. And they have a bunch more to say, so I'm really excited to hear from them again. Sincerely, a girl who has both the mermaid and the turnip head look-alike rare crows tatted on her.
What?
Okay, so we literally just talked about this, I think, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
That we're going to go get tattoos.
I think we might do it. Well, yeah.
We're going to go do it.
Let's book it.
That's not a might. We're going to go.
Put it on the calendar. If it's not on the calendar, what am I supposed to do?
No, you're right. It's not on the calendar.
Yeah. But no, we literally just did talk about this and trying to figure out what we might do. Because Shirley and I, in the meat space, we both do have several tattoos.
Yeah.
So we're going to throw another one on there.
I might throw more than one. Yeah.
Incredible. Well, Mandy did.
Yeah.
Okay, but I have so many questions. Also, feel free, if you're comfortable, include photos of your Stardew Valley tattoos.
Oh my God.
In
yes.
the future.
And your farm, too. I would love.
Oh, throw some screenshots on there.
Yeah, we would love a screenshot.
Folks, hey, everybody, write in stardroptpodcast@gmail.com. Shirley, are you going to spit out? Did I make you spit out your sparkling water?
The face you just made, of you're just like, everybody.
This is the moment I've been waiting for. Shirley, please.
Okay, we're ready. This stays in the edit.
Oh, we are leaving this in.
Yeah.
We're leaving this in. Okay. Okay.
Go
ahead. As I was saying, write in.
So good.
Woo. Okay. Write in stardroptpodcast@gmail.com. Do you have a Stardew Valley tattoo? Can we see it? Please?
And I would also really love to see people's farms.
Yes. You taught me something new.
Yes.
You taught me something new. Tell everybody about the screenshot.
Oh, I was like, you have to be way more specific.
Yeah. Yeah. Got my ass, but also totally correct.
Oh, yeah. About taking screenshots
of the farm.
Yeah. So to take a screenshot of your entire house or your entire farm, which it took me a while to figure out, it's in the menu tabs of the game. When you see the inventory, all of that, there's a little icon that is a game controller. That's where options are. And then when you scroll all the way to the bottom is the word screenshot. You click on that and then that screenshots where you are. But the entirety of it.
the whole thing.
The whole thing.
You are teaching me so many things.
Yeah.
All the time. So grateful for you.
And then to take a recording of what you have just played. Because again, we play through Switch. So it's not like I can just do a recording while I'm playing on the PC. You just hold down the little circle icon thing on the left-hand side of the Switch controller for a bit until it says it's loaded, and it will do max 30 seconds.
Yeah, I had no idea. And it, but in the past, like, now you know. Don't start recording that. You record like what just happened.
Yeah, so like something like Pierre punching Morris, I was like, okay, we're gonna record that, and we'll record the last 30 seconds.
I, again, had no idea how people were doing these like wildly zoomed out screenshots. And again, as somebody who's like only ever played on a Switch Lite, like, well, I don't know, that must be PC.
Yeah,
it's gotta be PC.
So no, it's available to everybody, and all that to say, send us some screenshots of screenshots, whatever you like,
tattoos.
So what do you think about the mermaid situation?
Oh, great question. What do I think about the mermaid situation? The mermaid show has an age limit. So there's some aspect of it that is not suitable for all audiences. Maybe too salacious? I don't know. Because I think Jazz says that she wishes she was old enough to see the mermaid show. Which, what do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that salacious for me, but I also am coming from the mindset of I'm an adult. I guess for kids, like, they're sort of dancing provocatively. And that brings us to the question, like, is there something else happening there? I think someone expressing their sensuality is really cool. And doesn't always have to be sinister. But I do think that there could always be something weird happening in the sense of, like, this game constantly is doing something that I wasn't expecting.
Totally. Like a small business owner, right? We love a small business owner. I don't know if there's anything necessarily going on with the mermaids. I know we can get pearls from them, and I love that. But other than that, I don't know.
Typically, I'm actually...
traditionally, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I'm gonna actually lean in to the theory. Sorry, what did I just do? That whole phrase right there is... in the realm of like corporate, of like girl boss moment, I'm like, well, let me just take that back. I'm gonna look at it from the perspective of it is Siren-y. And
assumption.
We're gonna assume that it could be. We have a couple of ways that actually could prove that theory to be true. There is Leo, who is in Ginger Island, whose parents die.
That's true.
In a shipwreck. Yeah. And so we have the mermaid that's on Ginger Island. Did they do something to the ship
that killed? Are they implicated?
Yeah, are they implicated in the death of Leo's parents? Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, my jaw is open. That's terrifying.
But imagine if that was truly happening.
That's so sad.
Yeah. And they're kind of the boss-ish
girl
of
boss.
Ginger... girl boss.
girl boss. Mermaid girl boss.
Mermaid girl boss of Ginger Island. And, like, the birds are subjugates of...
You're subjugating the birds?
Yeah. So I'm leaning in. I'm leaning into the theory. A couple of other things. I'll have to fact check it later in the editor's notes, because I will not do it now. I don't really feel like it. But I think we go to the night market before we have gotten access to Willy's boat, potentially.
Yeah. The night market is a calendar event. It's not an achievement-based access event.
Unless you, like, grind it out. That is a very specific way to play, and I love that for people, but that is really hard. I like to enjoy the game.
Yeah.
But most of the time, you experience the night market before you have access to the boat. And so then to see the little mermaid thing, it'd be like, whoa, what's this? What's happening? Yeah. And then I guess the siren is like lulling you in to this other potential life. And we go to Ginger Island, we wreck our boat, we die, and
we
Leo
don't
lives.
Get a mermaid girlfriend.
And we don't get a mermaid girlfriend, and I never get to start my side business with her.
No. So, yeah. My business venture.
My business venture, girl boss. But that could be. That could definitely be happening.
Folks, do you think the mermaids are nefarious? Write in stardroptpodcast@gmail.com.
I think that they are in the most powerful way possible, in the sense of, like, they own their power and they take whatever they want. But most of the lore of mermaids leans more to a siren culture where they've done whatever they wanted.
Yeah. Okay. So even as we're talking about this, I'm thinking...
You're like, this is getting serious. Put the game down.
Yeah. Let me put my Switch down for a second. Because I believe the mermaids are associated with the rain on Ginger Island. Because the mermaid only reveals herself on the rock when it's raining, think.
And then you got to play a fine tune.
I do, and I can't figure out what
it is. That shit took me so long.
I don't know.
Oh my god. You haven't done it yet?
I'm trying.
It's hard.
I have the flute blocks, and I tuned them to what I thought was it, and it's not.
Yeah.
It
seems like it's going to be easy. It wasn't. Even when I read their wiki several times, I was just like, is this because English is my second language?
I can't understand this. I didn't really read the wiki on that one. I was just like, got it. I had the secret note, and then also there's like a little thing in the sand that's sort of like a little indicator.
See, I thought that was just dirt.
And they were like just smacking it with the hoe.
Yeah,
like, just being like, is it seeds or what?
Yeah.
Okay, so next email, the person didn't sign it, so I'm not going to imply any names. Super enjoying playing Stardew Valley and listening to the podcast. Currently listening to part 2 of casting the movie, and I have suggestions. Okay.
Okay, yes.
Let's hear it. Okay, Deborah Ann Wool for Leah. So this person was in True Blood.
They are also really good as a D&D dungeon leader.
Dungeon leader?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I've watched some TikToks of them explaining Dungeons & Dragons, and it was incredible.
Cool. I've always wanted to play Dungeons & Dragons, but it's very hard to find a group to do that with.
The number one reason people stop playing Dungeons & Dragons is finding the group, but also the scheduling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, moving on. So Deborah Ann Wool for Leah. Okay, great. Amazing. Then Aaron Kellyman for Maru. Okay, so we have Aaron Kellyman, who, of course, played lead villain in some kind of Marvel movie. Oh my gosh, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I had to look at her credits because they're all the same movie. All right, next up, Chris Carmack for Kent. Love that alliteration. Chris Carmack for Kent. Oh, look at his jawline.
Oh, yeah. All that guy needs is gel.
For Kent, though, he needs to, like, not sleep. We need to make that guy look like shit.
Yeah, we need the makeup department. That man.
Yeah.
You know, why rely on the makeup department when you can just do the lived-in experience?
Yeah, put them in your basement for a little bit.
Oh my god. But anyways, I see it. Just needs gel.
Just needs gel. Chris Carmack for Kent. Love that. And because we have the budget.
We have so much budget.
Big budget. We've got the biggest swing yet. Because we have the budget, Robin Williams for Linus.
Yeah, another hologram, because I know this word now.
Congratulations. And for sure, not only because Linus is essentially just an older version of him in Jumanji.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then they go on to say, Marnie's casting is spot on. Melanie Lynskey is a true gem. Hey, remember when, without consulting each other, we both cast Melanie Lynskey for Marnie?
I love it. Yeah, I mean, it's the right choice.
Yes. She's, like, such a, like, earthy, bodacious babe that just, like, ugh, Melanie Lynskey. Alan Tudyk, Juilliard-trained actor and the voice of Hey Hey the Chicken in Moana. Wonderful. He could play all the roles in the movie, and I would watch that.
Yeah, maybe if we do the Muppet movie.
Oh, my gosh, with Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Sincerely. And then they did not sign with their name. So
we'll never know.
I don't know. Amazing.
But you know who you are. Shout out to you.
Shout out to you. Yeah. Incredible casting. Robin Williams, Jumanji. Absolutely. Age up. But also, like, well, I guess the white hair. Anyways, folks, when you write in, be sure to let us know if you want what your farmer name is, what your farm name is. Do you have any Stardew Valley tattoos? You know, just normal stuff.
Just normal stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I think we have one more, right, Charlie?
Yes, we have one. I'm really excited. It starts off with, hello, farmers, because that's us.
That's us.
We are farmers. We are farmers. I'm just
Wait, this one has a screenshot attached. I just saw this.
Yeah, you haven't seen the email yet.
No, so. I didn't open it.
I know. We were saving it to do mailbag.
Mailbag.
Crinkle, crinkle. Okay, back to the email. Hello, farmers. I'm absolutely loving the show. It's inspired me to start a new run.
Whoa.
Yes, shout out to having multiple runs. Oh, I do that all the time. I've put about 400 hours into the game over the past few years, and it's got a really special place in my heart. I love that so much. This game is, you could spend so much time. I just literally did the math before we started this, and I think it was at like 7-something on the Switch, and I haven't looked at the Steam account. So
7 different saves?
6 saves, 700+ hours.
700+ hours.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Folks, can anyone beat that?
Oh.
Right in.
That is actually small potatoes.
Okay, well, folks, small potatoes? Because I think that's a large potato.
No, and it is, I mean, I mean, this person's talking about 400 plus hours. Like, it is, it is a lot of hours, and it is a dedication. When we're talking about in comparison to other players of Stardew Valley, I have seen, like, in the thousands.
Sure, but comparison is a thief of joy.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, okay, we're playing this game. And they live on Honeycomb Farm. So cute. With their husband, Harvey. Harvey.
Congratulations.
I've heard a lot of people romance Harvey.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's supposed to be really nice, but he still charges you for medical visits, which is my biggest hang-up. My biggest hang-up.
But he's not supposed to practice on you if you're family. But he's the only medical professional. No! How does this work? I don't know. Anyway, please read the rest of the email.
And our two kids, Finch and Sparrow. So cute. And my cat, Vinny. Stardew Valley is actually the place where I first used my chosen name. Aww, I love that so much.
I love that.
I'm really happy for you.
That's beautiful.
And I'm so grateful that you shared that with us. So thank you. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for more of the wonderful episodes. Your theories and gossip are so delightful. And then look at this cute. Oh my God. I love the one of the kids is like right on the bottom.
They're so funny. Okay. So the screenshot that they attached is, oh my gosh. It is, they're in their kitchen, I guess, in their house. With their husband,
Harvey.
Beautiful. Also, they're wearing, I think, the purple rainbow shirt, maybe, which my avatar is also wearing right now. Great choice.
Cute. Twins.
Great choice. Are they dancing? Are they dancing together? Is that
it kind of looks like
just, like, standing?
When you hug and then you release and then you get a little heart from...
I've never done that. Oh, I see. Yeah, there's a little heart on his head.
Yeah. I do this with Krobus every morning.
What?
unbelievable reaction. Wow. The crowd goes, what?
Do you go what? Right in.
Yeah. But anyways, I love the style of your kitchen. It has a mushroom wallpaper, which I don't think I've seen yet.
No, I don't think I've seen that
this
either.
This is really cool. I also like the light you're letting in into the kitchen. You've got some two windows off to the left-hand side. Light is very important to me. Mm-hmm. I hate a dark kitchen. And I love the checkered floor. Really, really cute.
Super classic. Mm-hmm. I'm a little coffee maker over there. So cheerful. Love my coffee maker. And then there's these two babies. This is so far outside of my lived experience over here.
Yeah.
Stardew wise, but yeah, there's these two little babies. Are those babies?
Those are babies. Because I have never had children in the game Never had children in the game or in real life. Whenever I've gotten asked in the other save plays, and they're like, do you want to have kids? I was like, absolutely not.
This is wild.
Divorce.
So wait. They're like, Krobus, get in here.
Yeah, and then Krobus has never asked me for children.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's great news.
I have nothing against people having children in the game. I just didn't want them. And so I have never had the children experience.
I'm so surprised about that. Because I thought you would have like explored like all potential permutations of the game by now.
I'm a fucking liar.
What do you mean?
Absolute liar. I literally forget about one of my first saves where I definitely had children and then I dubbed them.
What?
I turned my children into dubs and I was like, no, get out of here. I remember that. I married Emily in the game and we had children and I was like, no, I don't want to do this. So then I went to Mayor Lewis, I believe. Or no, I think it's a statue that I go to. I haven't done this in such a long time. What do I do to get rid of my children?
So I'm pulling this up because this all sucks. Okay, I'm looking at the different stages of children. So this is a stage 4 child.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, cool. Stage 4 child.
Yeah.
Dismissing children. There's a section dismissing children.
AKA dubbing your children.
Well, children can be dismissed late game. What does that mean? Late game by interacting with the dark shrine of selfishness.
Oh, yeah.
Inside the witch's hut.
Yeah.
By offering the shrine a prismatic shard, it will allow players to turn children into doves.
Yeah.
making them leave the farm forever. Once dismissed, children are gone for good and cannot be returned. Note, however, that this will open up the possibility of your spouse asking again if you want children, unless the crib has been removed. Okay, so if there's a crib, so if you remove the crib, they won't bring it up?
Yeah, they're for them.
Oh, okay.
Now easy. We no longer have a place to have the children, so obviously they can't be here.
Easy.
We're not going to co-sleep as a queen. Like, there's, I got a cat. I can't have room.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah, my dog. My dog sleeps on my bed.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. And then if the child was wearing a hat when they're dismissed, the hat will show up in the lost and found the next morning. Wow, that's fucking heartbreaking. Whoa.
I'm like, so there was someone wearing a hat. Does anyone know what? And then there's just like a random dove just fluttering away.
Oh, there's like a bunch of Easter eggs that are related to doving your children.
Yeah, and then apparently like a dove can show up at certain points later in the game.
Oh, there's some spooky shit.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to spoil this. If you want to...
I don't think I want to play that route. But it also just made me feel bad because I was like, oh, I don't want to... dove you, but I don't want to have you in the
house. Don't want to dove you, but I don't love you.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't want them, and I also wanted to see like what it was like, because it's an option part of playing the
see
the
that's
game.
What I'm saying, as I figured that you would have gone all through.
Yeah, and that's why I said I'm not a liar. I just literally forgot.
There's a lot going on.
No, I literally forgot, and then there's so many saves. So anyways, a shout out to people who have children in the game. That's really cool. And also people who don't, and people who dub their children. So there's so many options. And I've done all of them now. I guess I haven't played that route in a long time.
Wild. Wild.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got so much exciting stuff to get into today.
Yes. So thank you everyone for writing in. That was really sweet.
That was so nice. And for real, I know I joke about it a lot, but truly, like, we love to hear from you.
Yeah, we absolutely do.
Shirley, I want to talk to you about something that I have really strong feelings about.
Okay.
We already mentioned it in this episode, and that is perfection.
Ooh.
Yeah. So perfection is something in the game that, to be honest, I had heard you mention a few different times.
While
we were just hanging out, and I genuinely was like, I do not know what that is. Or like, what's... Because that does... It simply does not come up unless you're like reading the wiki or have played through it.
Yeah.
Until you get, I think until you get to the Walnut Room. Like, I think.
That is the only time you actually know that is happening. There's no, I don't think there's not,
in the casino,
not a single clue.
Yeah, in the casino, it's not contextualized. Like, you get that information, but it's not contextualized in that way. I was just, like, so not interested from the very second. I was like, perfection? No. No. I am so used to rejecting the very concept of perfection because it has done so much harm to so many people, like, just the concept of it. So, and it's, like, fundamentally unattainable, number one. And then there's a lot of, like, really harmful ways that it can be in direct opposition to just, like, enjoyment of life if you're trying for something, trying for this, like, unreasonable standard that is set often by yourself via imposed structures put on you by like family members or society or whatever. And then like nobody else even knows about it. And you're just out here torturing yourself. Or maybe that's just me.
But no, I completely agree. Outside of the game, the concept of perfection as you, and I mean, I kind of joked about it in the beginning of this podcast episode, just like, oh, I just realized I'm not perfect. No one is perfect. And
no.
To your point, like, it is really harmful.
It's super harmful.
Because the standard you set for yourself is just unachievable. And I've absolutely experienced that myself as a Capricorn stellium, as I have said. It is something that I constantly strive for. And it also has impeded me from moving forward with ideas and things I want to achieve. I love to paint and all that stuff. And then kind of just stopped me like, well, if it's not perfect, I'm not going to do it. What a terrible thought process and feeling to impose on myself and like stop me from having that joy when I don't need to do anything and like no one needs to do anything for other people's views. Sometimes we do, but I don't allow that to happen all the time, but I'm definitely working on that.
Yeah. It's just, there's so many aspects of perfection that are so unrealistic and harmful. So for the next couple of minutes, I'm going to be talking about disordered eating. So content warning there. I'm not going to belabor it, but just skip forward a couple minutes if that's not for you. Because perfection is a big driver behind thought of a lot of disordered eating. And that's something that I have found myself dealing with in the past, and also self-harm through like deprivation of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I thought I had a lot of work to do or like had to finish a project. That's not real. What we do to like connect with other people is real.
Yeah.
So when I was like, perfection, no. So trying to be perfect or attain perfection does not align with like how I approach Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
At all. So kind of like what I said with the who I would cast as my farmer in Stardew Valley, the movie, it was Sky Ferreira, like literally a model, of course, sure. But with that like disheveled, messy, like did have her makeup done at some point. And then since then has been rained on, slept in a cave, you know, farming at 10 and then dungeon battle at 2 sort of thing. And I just think it's really interesting that I know that you've been so motivated to like do perfection in the game. And so I wanted to talk to you about that. And is that how you are aiming to play new saves going forward, like your new 1.6? And like, is that still important to you?
Thank you for asking. And before I move forward, I wanted to take a moment to say how much I appreciate you sharing that part of yourself and what has happened. And that is a really difficult thing to go through at any stage of anyone's life.
Thank you.
And I definitely understand trying to just like work towards something that is outside of yourself. And when you can like really reflect on, is this something that I want? And most of the time it's actually not. It's no, more of like for approval or something else. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah. Or like driven by like anxiety or, or other things.
Yeah. So I don't want to move past that besides.
No, thank you. I appreciate
before
that.
Before just really appreciating that. And then that really actually goes hand in hand with how I'm playing the game now, because when I initially started the game, first of all, I had no idea what was happening. And then,
Absolutely.
Then I was like, okay, I'm going to read the wiki because I need to understand what's happening. Yep. And I learned about perfection before I got to perfection and the Wander Room. So I tend to do this myself. I'm just like kind of reading ahead. Mm-hmm. It helps my anxiety to know what's happening. I learned about it and I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. But it took a long time to get to the Wander Room. So like knowing something and actually being presented with the option to do it is very different. And so I kind of forgot about it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I finally entered the Wander Room, I was like, whoa, what's happening? Because the game was starting to feel repetitive, which it definitely can feel that way at times, which is why I appreciate when the updates happen. I'm like, oh, new thing. And this allowed me to have a refresh perspective of playing the game. So I went from like not really doing a lot, kind of like going through motions, a lot of farming, talking to people, mining, battling monsters, to saying like, I gotta lock in. I need to lock in and I need to get 100 because I want to do this different thing. And it became super serious. And I talked about it when we had our guest podcast person, M, that we have a co-op farm where I was like, you have duties. When you come in here, I need to get ore. I need you to go mining and you go do this. Yeah. And like, this is what's happening. I'm going to go achieve this part of the game or whatever. And so we had tasks all the time.
Whoa.
And I didn't keep a journal, but it was pretty serious. Like we cranked through it pretty fast. And then also I knew that this like major update was coming, which was 1.6. Mm-hmm. So then I wanted to achieve perfection before it came out just to see, okay, like I've done it. So
right. Oh, and then and then now there's 2% left.
Yeah, now I'm at again. 98. What the fuck?
That's so funny.
Whatever, I'm chill about it. So yeah.
I think truly I took a screenshot of my quote unquote perfection tracker. Boo. And we'll share it on our Instagram. Shirley has been doing such a great job also of updating our Instagram. Social media guru over here.
I'm not consistent, but I do my best.
Check out our Instagram. Hey, Shirley, what's our Instagram handle?
Stardrop Tea Podcasts, because there actually were a couple of Stardrop Teas. I was like, oh, you can exist, of course.
Okay.
So what percentage of perfection are you at now?
Such a good question. Okay, so this I was kind of surprised about because it was a much lower number than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, you were like, I'm at 60 for sure.
How many?
60. Like, where did you think you were before you?
I think probably I thought I was going to be in the 80s, maybe.
Oh, yeah, you're like, what else is there to do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 50%.
Yeah.
I love that you were like, oh, well, I don't know, 60. Nope. 50%. Mm-hmm. Whoa, I'm halfway there.
But so fun though. I like if you don't take it so seriously.
Well, no, and
it's
I don't.
Just, it's cool things to do.
And there's just like certain things that I just like simply won't do. Like produce and forage shipped 83%.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good. Obelisks on farm, 0.
Yeah.
I don't want any. They don't look good. I don't think they look good. That's just me. Golden clock on farm. No, I don't want it.
Wait a minute. You have no obelisks on your farm because you don't think they look good. So you're just going to places the long way, the hard way.
But yeah, but I also like don't want to spend my money and resources on those. Okay. Shirley is really upset right now, folks.
Well, you're gonna take a boat every single time you're gonna go to Ginger Island?
Yes.
Or I guess you have the warp token.
No, I take the boat.
Oh my god.
I take the boat.
What?
I gotta go see my
you
guy.
You could just be dropped off. You can be, house. And that's exactly what it sounds like.
That's actually
and
really
then,
good.
And then you land.
Yep, that's correct.
Even Ginger Island. But no, okay. Anywho, I wanted to tell you, so I'm playing the game pretty differently now because most of it is kind of the same. Although whenever there's a new event, I try to be really in it, like experience it. Mm-hmm. But I've been playing the game to get screenshots to see backstory. So every time I go enter someone's house, I'm like, I go through their bookshelf again. I'm like, where was that book? I know there was something in here.
Yeah.
And it's made it fun of just, I'm interacting with the game in a way where I'm not trying to achieve anything, more of just like truly experience what's happening.
Welcome. Welcome. It's nice over here.
I'll send this part to my therapist.
Yeah, perfect. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Okay. I think, so I'm about to ask it. Okay. So I think the big problem is, vis-a-vis the obelisks, is that I simply do not have enough dragon fangs or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is it dragon fangs? I think I have like 3. Mm-hmm. And that is not enough to build an obelisk. And I am unaware of where I can find more. I have gone into that volcano many times.
Yeah, there are definitely ways to do it.
Yeah, I'm sure there are, Shirley. Mm-hmm. And not in the volcano, though, as far as I can tell.
Are you looking for an answer?
And for listeners at home, that was me really making aggressive eye contact with Shirley.
Look away.
I don't know. No, I'll look it up. But yeah, I don't have a lot of dragon, you know, just tell me.
There's so many ways to do it.
Oh my god.
There are things you can eat.
Eat?
Yeah, to like increase the monster drop situations. Drop a dragon tooth. And I believe that you can also get it from a fish pond, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, like high luck days will increase the likelihood of you getting a dragon tooth.
Okay. I mean,
I'm going to fact check that right now.
This is wild. It's a very low occurrence for me. No dragon teeth. That is one of the many reasons why I don't have an obelisk. Also, Shirley, I don't have a cool $1 million to just drop on an obelisk.
Yeah.
Because I'm not devoted to farming.
Well,
to
the level that you are. Yeah, I can't really. Because that, no, I know. I created an enterprise. I was like, ancient fruit absolutely everywhere. When I finally realized that it was always the perfect season on Ginger Island, that entire farm is ancient fruit.
That must have taken so long to like turn the fruit into seeds and then plant those. And
I have
fruit.
700 plus hours.
Okay. All right. Okay. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah. So I definitely did that.
That's fantastic. Okay. Yeah. No, I don't have any obelisks. I am out here doing things the hard way. I am hoeing the ground one square at a time. I am watering things one at a time. Nope. I'm not anymore, but I was. I'm fine. Anyways. Oh, I don't have any obelisks.
Live fact checking. You can get the dragon tooth in the mm-hmm. volcano, and it's by killing the lava lurk. There's about 15% chance to do that, which is, again, like having something that ups your monster drop mm-hmm. is really great. Then, of course, you can find it like in the volcano itself, and you can get dragon teeth by getting a stingray fish pond, and they will give it to you.
A stingray fish pond?
Once the population is of 9. Yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
I never had a stingray fish pond. So no. It was just through the monsters and finding them in the volcano.
Okay. Stingray fish pond. I don't even have a fish pond.
Yeah. Fish ponds definitely help with just giving you neat gifts depending on. And every fish will do something different. Like, obviously, they will give you roe, but some of them will do other things.
Okay. Good.
I'm going to keep it vague. And that vagueness is because I don't remember.
Okay, great. Yeah, I don't. Okay. Wow.
Good. The more you learn.
Good. Yeah. And so this is kind of related to something we mentioned earlier, which is you just showed me how to do the full farm map screenshot.
Yeah.
And so I finally.
For the first time.
Was able to see what the whole map looks like of my farm.
Mm-hmm.
And there's room for improvement.
It's hard to tell sometimes how large it is, especially if there's so many trees.
There are quite a few trees.
Yeah. And I will be sharing a photo of your farm very soon. So I'm excited for that.
Get excited, people.
Get excited for trees.
Get excited for
Shout
trees.
Shout out to nature.
And large swaths of tilled earth.
Yeah. I mean, you can see that. I took a bunch of screenshots of all of the different scenes. And I can see, like, this is obviously the perfection farm where, like, every single part
is meticulous.
Something is doing something. And then there's the ones where I'm like, yeah, no, fuck it. It's just like this small.
Yeah.
Here's a tiny farm. Okay. So, or, like, you're welcome.
On your perfection farm, what is your, like, daily income from your farm?
Daily is definitely, like, in the hundreds of thousands. Just, like, there's different operations that are happening at the same time. Because I have multiple sheds and, like, other stuff. Then also now with, I just got the smoker, mm-hmm. which makes a big difference with fish. Mm. I also have been playing for a long time. And I would just, like, hoard things. So I have a couple of thousands of ancient fruit just sitting in a chest.
Whoa.
Because I didn't want to just sell the fruit. I wanted to make wine.
Uh-huh.
And the wine, it putting in the cask takes a really long time.
Yes.
So I've just kept saving those.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was striving for perfection, one day I was like, oh my God, like, I'm just going to sell this mm-hmm. huge bundle of 999. And I did that. I was like, that was so much money. Like, and then I immediately bought like everything I needed to buy that was being held up by money.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm just calculating that. Ancient fruit cost.
And I don't even remember if they were iridium. Like, I think it was just like basic.
Okay. Ancient fruit sells for a base price of, oh, there's quite a bit of variance.
Just give me the base.
Base price $550. But if you have the tiller specialization, $605.
Which I do. So at base price, it's $550,000.
Whoa. Okay.
So, and I definitely had iridium, I had gold, and like because I've just been saving them this whole time.
Right. That's yeah. So wild.
So yeah, I made so much money in just a few days. I was like, okay, we're buying everything. The return scepter. Hello.
Wow.
Going home immediately, whenever I want. Do you have the return scepter?
Unfortunately, no, not yet.
Oh my God, that is a game changer.
I know. That's not, I'm but now that I'm in the walnut room and I'm doing
No, you're not going to save money. You got a budget.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't have a ton of money. I have like, I don't know, like 400,000. But the return scepter is 2 million.
We're like, I don't have a ton of money. I only have $400,000.
Yeah. No, it's not dollars.
Yeah, it's gold coin. But in the game, that really, I mean, like Pam's house is 500,000.
Yes, yes.
So there's a lot.
Ugh, and so yeah, no, live fact check once again, 500,000.
Did you already upgrade Pam's house?
I did.
Okay, nice.
I did, yeah. And Penny,
which opens
still
up
complaining.
Yeah, that's her MO. but after you open up Pam's house, you also get the new shortcuts to things.
You do, and I appreciate that so much as somebody who, as previously,
does not have all of this.
I'm not warping.
Oh my God.
I mean, I do sometimes. Like if I have to get, well, no, I do have the even as I'm saying it, nope, never mind. Because the warp tower for returning to my farm from Ginger Island is on Ginger Island. I don't have to have that tower on my main farm. It's on the island. So I don't have to worry about that obelisk.
Sure.
No obelisk, no problem.
if it makes you happy.
It maybe does.
As Sheryl Crow would say, if it makes you happy, it can't be that bad, you know? So what are you actively striving for perfection?
Me?
Yeah. Like, what is the task that you deem to be, like, next?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Cool.
Let me see. Monster Slayer Hero. Okay, hold on. Fact checking once again. This one. Monster Slayer Hero. This is what I am about. I'm out here spanking those monsters. Absolutely. Great friends. 70%. Farmer level, 25 out of 25. Pretty good. Woo. Found all the star drops? No. Mm. I don't know. Like, that's it. Cooking recipes made, 64%. Crafting recipes made, 58%. Fish caught, 84%. Golden walnuts, 130 out of 130. Total, 50%.
Nice.
So, yeah. No, I don't care. I'm not interested in it. Except for the Monster Slayer one.
Yeah.
Okay, so I care a little tiny bit.
I have produce and forage 94. So that's because I probably haven't done like the carrots and like new seasonal items.
Carrots are new?
The carrots are new. Yeah. Summer squash is new. The powdered melon is new.
Oh,
like they're also a different bag. Like if you look at this, so it's like in a bag.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then cooking recipes, I'm at 98%.
Great.
And crafting recipes, I'm at 91%. And fish caught, 98%. So I have some cool things to do. I'm really glad I don't have more golden walnuts found.
No,
because
what a pain.
Have you done the task of remembering the sounds?
Oh,
do you know what I'm talking about? The crystals?
With the lion statue?
Yeah.
Those were some very trying times. That was difficult.
I got really upset. I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this.
Yeah, I took many attempts on that one. Yeah. I truly, like, you talk about locking in. Like, I was just like, everybody shut up. I got to figure out what this lion is saying.
I have to listen to the tune. I need to remember where it came from.
Yeah, and then it's crazy because it's such a chill, sweet little tune. Like, dee, 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 dee. And then you're like, dee, 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 dee.
Fuck! Yeah.
And then you just do that for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, it took me a while. And I even like searched, like, is it a tune that I can just remember? And they're like, no, it's pretty random every time. I'm like, oh my God, no. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're like, can I write it down? Can I use can I take a voice note?
I would actually do that. I would pause the game because you can pause it and I would have.
Okay. You're so smart. It's crazy. Shirley's laughing at my face.
Your face is. You're just staring at me with your mouth open. You're just like, what?
Yes. Everybody, Shirley's so smart. Meanwhile, over here, it simply did not occur to me.
No, I would pause the game and I would have recorded the last 30 seconds and just like, what was that? But I still didn't get it.
Okay, I'm back. I'm back, baby.
Yeah, we're back. We're back. No, but it's just, it took a while, and then I finally did it, and I was like, fantastic. So all I have to say is that if I had to find an additional golden walnut, I would delete this file.
And you're like, oh, going back to the perfection one. Figuring out what to do with it.
Forget it. I'm never looking at this again. But like every other save, I'm probably at like 20%. Probably just because I didn't play that game that way until I figured it out.
Sure. Yeah, makes sense. Well, that's a great question for our audience then. Folks, if you want to share your experiences with perfection in a Stardew Valley and Stardew Valley only context, please go ahead, write in stardropteapodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to send screenshots in. A little bit of context would be helpful as to what they are if it's not immediately apparent. What have you seen that is so crazy, so funny that you had to take a screen grab of about your perfection tracker? What is that thing at? So how did you feel when you checked your perfection score and it was 50%?
If you felt anything.
If you felt anything at all, because you may not. And and like which pieces of the perfection? Yeah, like what? There's so many ways to play this game.
Yeah.
Because I don't care about the other pieces.
Yeah.
Except I'm like, what? Like how many monsters I gotta slay?
Yeah, and that's important because you get a little hat, you get some rings.
I get a hat? I'm screaming. I get a hat.
Yeah, there's so much you get like a whole getup. You get a little outfit, and I think you know it's important. You gotta collect your outfits. And that's how I'm playing this game. I'm really excited.
So everybody, take really good care of yourselves this week. Make sure that you are drinking enough water. Make sure that you are getting enough sleep. Make sure that you are getting outside and spending time just being, just touching the earth. And if you've got all those big feelings that maybe are too big for you, just press those down straight into the earth, because the earth can take it.
That's really sweet. I did hug a tree this week.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Because astrologically speaking, this full moon, it was intense.
Capricorn full moon.
Yeah. It was a rough one. Yeah. So we hugged a tree. We survived.
Good.
And I didn't, I would say, completely lose my absolute cool in front of anyone.
No crashing out in public?
No. Mm. Only in private.
That's great.
I love that for me. So I hope you had a wonderful week, and I hope you survived however you did. We'll see you next time.
Check out our Instagram. Check out our TikTok. Leave us comments.
Send us an email with a screenshot. Oh my gosh,
wish you would. Thank you for listening. And if you have some Stardrop tea to share with us, email stardropteapodcast@gmail.com.
Follow to get all of our upcoming episodes as soon as they land, and rate this episode 5 stardrops.
Our cover art is by Brianne Burnell, and our theme music is by Eggward. Links to both their work are in show notes.
Make sure to take good care of yourself and your community. Bye.
Bye.